Hello, it is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report for Wednesday, July 22nd. We have the first base prices for Bristol Bay sockeye this evening. Even as the season winds down, daily catch across the bay was almost 700,000 fish yesterday, 698,000 to be precise. The total catch in the bay is now 36.5 million. At 54.4 million fish, Bristol Bay's total run is just 2 million less than last year's total run. Right now, it's the seventh largest run on record. Naknek Quijack's run makes up almost 44% of the bay's total, and Igigig's harvest is now at 12 million. I'm your host, Izzy Ross. Coming up tonight, fishermen have confirmed several processors, including Trident, Peter Pan, Red Salmon, and OBI Seafoods, have posted a base price this week of 70 cents per pound for sockeye.
Boys are working their butts off, and we get that, and it just doesn't make it's not worth it.
Bristol Bay got hot this month.
Both in the ocean and on land, it's warm. It's dry, but not to the extremes that we saw in 2019.
We hear how hotter oceans impact temperatures on land and why more ice coverage this winter isn't making much of a difference now. And just a reminder for our listeners, there is a Dillingham School Board meeting at 6 p.m. tomorrow. That's Thursday, July 23rd. We'll be airing that, so we won't be airing the Fish Report tomorrow. We'll be back on Friday, and next week we'll have a report Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for the final episodes of the season.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
We're going to get started with the numbers this evening. There's a little road construction right outside the studio, so if you hear any rumbling, it's not an earthquake, it's just road construction. Let's get started with the numbers. Across the bay, daily catch was almost 700,000 fish yesterday, at 698,000 to be precise. The total catch in the bay is now 36.5 million. Escapement across the bay was 196,400 for a cumulative of 17.9 million so far this season. Baywide, the total run is at 54.4 million fish. That's just 2 million less than last year's total run. Right now, it's the seventh largest run on record. The Naknek Quijack makes up almost 44% of the bay's total run, and Ugashik has met its upper end escapement goal of 1.4 million fish. Let's take a look in detail. Starting on the west side, the Nushigak fleet caught 63,000 fish yesterday. Average drift delivery was 585 sockeye. The season total harvest is at 8.7 million, attributed 68% to the drift fleet, 25% to Nushigak set netters, and a little under 4% to Igushik set netters. Escapement across the district was 35,700, about two-thirds of which came from the Wood River. Total escapement is now at 3.6 million. The Nushigak's total run is at 12.4 million. Looking at escapement by river, the Igushik River crew counted almost 7,000 fish swim past the tower yesterday for a total of 280,300. That's right in the escapement goal range of 150 to 400,000 sockeye. The sonar site in the Nushigak River counted 4,200 fish. The season total escapement there is 1.2 million so far, about 300,000 over the upper end escapement goal of 900,000. The Wood River crew counted 24,500 fish. Total escapement is now at 2.1 million. That is about 300,000 above that river's upper end escapement goal of 1.8 million. Harvest information in Togiak is confidential again. As of the last public daily harvest count on July 17th, the cumulative harvest came to 161,400. Escapement up the Togiak River yesterday was 11,400 for a total escapement of 82,000. That is a little less than three-quarters of the way to meeting the lower-end escapement goal of 120,000 fish. The total run in Togiak is 243,400. The Naknek Quijack fleet caught 246,000 fish yesterday. Average drift delivery was 550 sockeye. The season total harvest there is at 13.3 million, caught 81% by drift fleet, 11% by the Naknek set netters and 7% by Quijac set netters. Escapement across the district was 75,800 yesterday, bringing the total escapement to 10.3 million. The Naknek Quijac's total run is at 23.7 million. That's almost 44% of the total run in the bay. Breaking that escapement down by river, the Alagnac Tower counted 41,900 fish yesterday. Total escapement up the Alagnac River is at 2.2 million fish. The minimum escapement goal for that river was 210,000. In the Quijac, 13,700 fish were counted escaping upriver for a season total of 3.9 million, heading toward the middle of the Quijac's escapement goal range of between 2 and 10 million sockeye. The Naknek River Tower counted 20,200 fish yesterday for a total of 4.1 million. That is more than double the upper end escapement goal range of 2 million fish for that river. Igigik's fleet caught 236,000 fish yesterday. The drift fleet brought in an average of 840 fish per drift delivery. The cumulative harvest is at 12 million. That was caught around 87% by the drift fleet and 13% by set netters. The Igigik counting crew saw 20,900 fish escape yesterday for a total of 2.3 million. That is 300,000 over the upper end escapement goal range of 2 million fish. The total run there is at 14.4 million. Fishermen in Ugashik caught 153,000 fish yesterday for a total of 2.1 million. That cumulative harvest was caught 78% by drifters and 21% by set netters. The Ugashik has also met its upper end escapement goal of 1.4 million fish. Escapement up the Ugashik River yesterday was 52,600. The total run in Ugashik is 3.5 million. Over on the Chignik River, as of 5 p.m. today, 2,046 sockeye passed the Chignik Weir. The total run now is at 201,214 sockeye. The early run is at 135,458, and the late run is at 65,756. Also, as of 5 p.m., 12 Chinook had passed the weir, bringing the season cumulative for Chinook to 825. Six Pinks passed for a season total of 625. No Chum were counted for a total this season of six. At Area M, the South Peninsula commercial salmon fishery was closed yesterday, so there is no harvest to report from there. Area M's total sockeye harvest is 1.7 million so far. That's made up primarily of sockeye caught by the North Peninsula fleet, which hauled in 1.2 million sockeye so far this season. Area M's Chinook catch is at 17,500. That comes mainly from the South Peninsula fleet. Pinks are at 1.9 million. Those are virtually all harvested from the South Peninsula fleet. The Chum harvest is at 575,300, mainly from the South Peninsula. That's all for the numbers. Stay tuned. We'll be right back on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Support for KDLG's fisheries coverage comes from OBI Seafoods, proud to partner with the fishermen and communities of Bristol Bay.
Welcome back on this very warm and sunny Wednesday evening. Bristol Bay salmon processors are starting to post base prices, and this year's price is just over half the base price last year of $1.35. Fishermen have confirmed that Trident Seafoods, Red Salmon, North Pacific Seafoods, OBI Seafoods, and Peter Pan Seafoods have posted a base price of 70 cents per pound for sockeye. Trident fishermen also confirmed bonuses of 15 cents for RSW, 5 cents for bleeding, and 5 cents for chilling.
Well, it's ridiculous because it's not worth it at all because I'm putting all this money in.
Alex is a captain from Wasilla who fishes for Peter Pan Seafoods. He declined to give his last name. He's extremely disappointed with this season's prices.
I'm leasing a permit just for $20,000, and that's another $10,000 for the boat, and then the stuff that I pay for renting the storage, and then taxes for gear and all this other stuff. And then what happens is we get 70 cents, so I go home, I can make more money on unemployment.
Alex says the low base price means it's not worth investing more into the fishery for him. He plans to sell his boat.
I see the season that I could have worked at home, very mild sleep, and be with my kids, my wife, and make the same. Here, I only slept for an hour or 30 minutes. And boys are working their butts off. And we get that, and it just doesn't make, it's not worth it.
Heading into the salmon season, seafood market analysts said that a combination of COVID-19-related factors could drop the base price for sockeye this year. Those factors include increased processor costs because of virus mitigation plans and shrinking restaurant demand. If you fish and have information about your market's base price that we haven't reported, please contact the KDLG Fisheries team at fish@kdlg.org. You can also call 907-842-2200.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
It is Weather Wednesday. Before we take a look at temperatures around the bay, we're going to take a brief look. 75 miles south of Chignik, where a 7.8 magnitude earthquake hit late last night, according to NOAA's National Tsunami Warning Center. NOAA reported a depth of 8.1 miles. It canceled the tsunami warning originally issued for the event shortly after midnight. It reported a 24-centimeter wave at Sand Point. The U.S. Geological Society says the earthquake occurred, quote, as the result of a thrust faulting on or near the subduction zone interface between the Pacific and North America plates. USGS added that since 1900, there have been six earthquakes that were magnitude 7 or greater near last night's earthquake site. The largest was an 8.2 magnitude quake in November of 1938, which occurred in almost the exact location of last night's event. If you felt the earthquake and want to give your perspective, give us a call, 842-2200. On to temperatures now. The KDLG studio is hot, and it's also hot and sunny outside. In fact, the entire bay has warmed up this month. University of Alaska Fairbanks climate specialist Rick Toman walks us through icy oceans this winter and hotter water this summer.
So this week in the Bristol Bay region, we've had some very warm weather. A day and a half of rain as well, but really the story is mostly it's been warm. And we're really seeing the warm July now is starting to show up in the ocean temperatures. You'll recall we had that area kind of from Port Hyden or so up towards Togiak Bay, where we had ice linger longest, and that area had had near normal ocean surface temperatures early in the summer. But now the entire Bristol Bay region and really most of the Southeast Bering Sea is seeing significantly above normal ocean temperatures. Again, same story as before, not to the level of last year, but this year is now turning into definitely a warmer than the long-term average. Going forward here, looks like probably more of the same in store for the region. It's not going to be any really hot weather, but probably stay above normal here. We probably will get a day or two with a wind and some rain as a storm moves by, mostly to the south of the Alaska Peninsula. But that should go on by and a drier weather return to the region. So all in all, warm is the word. At this point, precipitation across the region is below normal for the month of July. We'll get a little bit more here, but overall, going to wind up with a drier than average July. Again, not like last year. So that's really the theme, both in the ocean and on land. It's warm, it's dry, but not to the extremes that we saw in 2019.
Mm-hmm. As a weather novice, what is the relationship between warming ocean temperatures and the weather on land? If there's like warmer oceans, how does that impact the land air temperature? Or is there no relation there at all?
That's a good question. And it's actually got different parts to it. So, of course, as far as air temperatures goes, the most direct influence will be, you know, right on the coast. So communities that sit right on the beach, they will be most directly influenced by those differences in the ocean temperatures compared to normal. Now, of course, the atmosphere is the big player there, but this time of year, if we don't have active weather systems moving through, water temperatures being warmer than normal mean that the air temperature right on the beach will, of course, be warmer than the long-term normal. As you move inland, that effect decreases some, but it really, as we've seen, say, in the autumn, warm ocean temperatures really can affect the weather across the state of Alaska. So it is more of an effect right on the coast than it is farther inland, but the effect does extend. The other area that can be significant for the Bristol Bay region is that in years when we have low ocean temperatures, say colder than normal, that is also conducive to more low cloudiness because that air on the ocean surface is cool. It keeps the air right above it cool. And so that actually helps promote that low stratus cloud. It takes longer to burn off during the day, and we wind up with more cloudy days. When the water is warmer, we see less of that. And, of course, that's also one of those feedbacks. If there's less cloud, there's more sun on the water, that helps to heat it up as well. So they're interrelated. But generally, when we see low ocean temperatures in the summertime, we see more low cloudiness.
And then in terms of ice coverage, you mentioned the ice coverage that lasted for a long time between Port Hyden and the Togiak area. Did that have any impact on temperatures in the water or in the air?
So that was probably responsible, that longer lasting ice was likely responsible for keeping the ocean water temperatures a little bit cooler in there as we move through May and June. But now that effect is mostly gone away now. The ice has been gone long enough. There's been enough mixing of the water now. And that certainly will have locally at least affected temperatures for the areas right on the coast. Togiak or Port Hyden or Pilot Point, those communities may have had just a little bit lower temperatures than elsewhere due to that cooler water.
Well, thank you so much for taking a couple minutes to talk about what we're looking at as we head towards the end of July.
Okay, thanks very much, Izzy. We'll talk next week.
I'm Glenn Alzer, Sr., Mayor of Lincoln Peninsula Borough. I'd like to thank all the fishermen for their adherence to Mandate 17 during this summer season. Now that the season is wrapping up and you're returning to your home in one of the Lincoln Peninsula Borough villages, please plan ahead. Check in with your community in advance to know what local travel protocols are in place. At a minimum, we recommend that you get tested in Naknek or Dillingham prior to flying home and carry the documentation of your negative test. Upon arriving in the village, keep your friends and neighbors safe by quarantining yourself and your family for 7 to 10 days. Make an appointment at the clinic for a second test in the 7 to 10 days. Thank you again for your cooperation in helping to keep your community safe.
Guess who's back again.
Fish.
That is all for the Fish Report on this Wednesday evening, folks. As we wind down the season, we'd love to hear from you. Please email us, fish@kdlg.org. You can give us a call with your thoughts on the season, 842-2200. That's 907-842-2200. And just a reminder, there is a Dillingham School Board meeting at 6 p.m. tomorrow. That's Thursday, July 23rd, so we won't have the Fish Report. We'll be back Friday, and then next week we'll have reports on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for the final episodes of the season. We're going to take a look at the marine weather forecast before we head off this evening. In the Bristol Bay marine weather forecast, a west wind tonight at 20 knots, diminishing to 10 knots after midnight, seas at 4 feet, patchy fog. Thursday, a south wind at 10 knots, becoming a southeast wind in the afternoon, seas at 2 feet, and patchy fog. And Thursday night, a southeast wind, 15 knots, with a southwest wind after midnight, seas at 3 feet. In the marine weather forecast from Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, a southeast wind at 20 knots tonight. From Port Muller East, a variable wind at 10 knots, becoming a southeast wind at 20 knots after midnight, seas at 3 feet and patchy fog. Thursday, southeast wind, 20 knots, seas at 5 feet and patchy fog. And Thursday night, southwest wind, 20 knots and seas at 5 feet. In the tidal forecast at Nishigak at Clark's Point, low tide at 11:31 p.m. at 0.4 feet. High tide at 6 o'clock a.m. at 21.4 feet. At the Naknek River entrance, low tide at 11:49 p.m. at negative 1 foot. High tide at 6:15 a.m. at 23 feet. And at the Igigik River entrance, low tide at 10:10 p.m. at negative 1 foot. and high tide at 5:04 a.m. at 18 feet. That does it for the show, the weather, and all that jazz. Good night, good fishing for those of you still out there, and see you back here tomorrow.